Good morning. Welcome to Focus 580. This is our morning talk program. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us. We're also pleased to have back here on the program Dr. Ellen Jacobson. She is a dermatologist. She has a practice here in our area in Urbana. That's the Jacobson Dermatology Clinic?
Center.
Center. Okay. Sorry about that, doctor. It's in Urbana, and she has been, in the past, very generous with some of her time coming by and answering her questions. It's something that we try to do periodically throughout the year. We have a couple of different dermatologists who come in, and based on the kind of calls and the number of calls we've gotten, we figure that there will always be questions from people about this particular area of health, and we're really glad that she could be here on the program. The questions are certainly welcome. Whenever we have a physician here on the program, the thing that I always caution people is, because the doctor cannot see you, it is impossible to do diagnosis over the phone, but at the same time, you know, I don't want to discourage anybody from calling, because the reason we do these programs is to try to help you with your, you know, add to your health knowledge, maybe give you a little bit of basic information, a place to start, and then, of course, if you have concerns, then you need to pursue that with someone who can see you. But this is a place to start, and I don't want to discourage anybody from calling. I know the doctor will do her best to give you an answer. 333-9455 is the number here in Champaign-Urbana. We do also have a toll-free line. That one's good anywhere that you can hear us, and that is 800-222-9455. Well, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I don't know if there's anything in particular we want to talk about. I think probably any time, whoever's here at this time of the year, we always talk about dry skin, dealing with dry skin, because it's a winter kind of problem. And people I know have really plagued by it. It can be really uncomfortable. It can hurt. It can be unsightly. And sometimes it's just hard to know, well, what is really the best way to pursue it, particularly if what you're doing is you're trying to go down to the drugstore and get some kind of over-the-counter product that will make you feel better, and if you really have a problem, get it to heal up. So what's your basic dry skin, winter dry skin lecture?
My basic lecture is that most of the time Americans think that they need to be a lot cleaner than they really need to be, and they use way too much soap and they use way too much hot water, and they get really dry, and they respond to that by often using more soap and more hot water and getting more dry and more itchy. So my recommendation is to use something that's a very mild cleanser, something maybe like Cetaphil cleanser, which is a lotion, kind of a soap, and to use that only in the folds, in places where they might develop a little bit of odor or sweat, and to mostly not use very hot water, to not use bubble bath. And when you get out of the bath or shower, the best thing to do is to apply a good moisturizer right over your slightly damp skin. And there are several. Eucerin Plus, which has a little bit of lactic acid in it, is a particularly good one, because we know even from studies that that helps retain moisture. And then avoiding really hot, dry places, not sitting with a space heater under your desk blowing at your legs all day is a good way to avoid that. And mostly just not overwashing. And then if you have particular itchy spots, then I would go to the Cordate or the 1% hydrocortisone. An ointment form of that versus a cream form is always going to be more moisturizing if it's Vaseline-y. Mm-hmm. And if people get really dry, chappy hands, there's a product called Aquaphor, which is extremely helpful for any kind of a dry skin, but particularly for dry hands. And so those would be the things I'd pick up.
Okay. And it does, I would underscore the cortisone, the kind of that you can get over the counter is, I think, can be really helpful, particularly if it's really bad and you're past the point of just moisturizing helping. If the skin's cracked, you need to maybe go just a little bit extra. And that seems to be really helpful, and you don't need a prescription to.
Don't need a prescription, and you actually do need to be a little careful that you wouldn't want to put that on your face every day, because it could actually cause acne, and even that level can cause thinning of skin, like in a diaper area, for instance, or in some areas. And another thing that can be helpful for the little cracky things on fingers is the liquid Band-Aid. You could kind of make a little cast for a little crack that develops in your hand. In your fingers, and I usually recommend that people do two or three layers of that, mm-hmm. and then let it heal from the inside.
Okay. Any questions that people have? You know, I realized here at the beginning I did that long spiel and I didn't give the telephone number, so maybe I should do that because we really want to encourage people to call in with questions. If you'd like to talk with our guest, dermatologist Dr. Ellen Jacobson, 333-9455. That's for Champaign-Urbana folks. We do also have a toll-free line, good anywhere that you can hear us, and that is 800-222-9455. 333-WILL, if that helps, probably doesn't. 800-222-WILL. It does also seem that if you're thinking about what can help in terms of moisturizing, that it may not be the most convenient, but the greasier it seems, the greasier it is, the better. And so those things that are a little bit more like Vaseline probably have a more moisturizing effect. You may not like the way that it feels once you get it on, but it probably will be better for you. It will do a better job than something that is lighter and seems to absorb much more.
Yes. Things like sesame oil and baby oil really provide very little moisturization. Mm-hmm. And there are some little white cotton gloves. They're little medicine application gloves that you can get. So a great thing for people with really dry hands is to apply either Vaseline or Aquaphor at night and then put on those little gloves, even for an hour or so. And you don't need to wash them every time you use them. And it's like getting into a little medicated garment. But usually for $1.89 or $3.50 or something, you can find those at many pharmacies and medical supply stores.
So you're talking about cotton, just a plain cotton kind of
glove? They're not like gardening gloves. They're just a little white cotton glove that's very inexpensively made. It's not like the ones that our grandmothers used to test with for dust and that kind of thing.
Yeah. The white glove treatment. Yeah.
White glove
treatment. All right. Let's talk with the caller. We have someone here on a cell phone on our line number one. We'll go right there. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I was just curious if the doctor had an opinion if maybe we as a culture bathe too much compared to other cultures. I'll hang up and listen.
Okay. Well, do you think so?
Well, I did. I did sort of say that as a starter, that there are many Americans, many patients I have who actually take showers twice a day. And I think that that is a way over washing of skin, which is totally not meant to be treated that way. Now, some of these people are athletes, of course, and they go and they exercise and then they go and they exercise again and they take showers both times. And I understand that. But even in that situation, you don't need to use soap every place on your body in order to cleanse it. And I think that there's a lot of research that's been done, particularly on antibacterial cleansers, that in fact, they are making one, bacteria more difficult for us to control, and two, decreasing people's immune response because they don't have to deal with the bacteria that are typically on our hands, which are typically pretty raunchy, actually, because we're out there in the world dealing with streets and shoes and walking and cough and waste products and all that kind of thing. So, yes, I think that for most people, a daily shower is fine. But again, soaping up all over your body in the wintertime is probably not fine, especially as we get older. Our skin just does not produce oil the way that it does when we're younger. So teenagers, yeah, they probably maybe really need it a lot of the time because they're in a very heavy hormonal oil-producing phase of their lives. But what I tell people is that, when you have a really greasy pan, what do? You bring out the really hot water and the scrungy pads and the really grease-cutting soap, and you work on it. And when you compare, your typical 60-year-old leg skin to that, it just doesn't make any moisture whatsoever. And so you just don't want to treat it as if it were a greasy piece of utensil. And less soap, less antibacterial soap. And I actually also, from a hand dermatitis point of view, have a real problem with the non-soap cleansers that people are using, sterilizing fluids, because they're mostly alcohol-based and they can be extremely drying for people. And the fact is, once you get one of those little cracks or fissures, that you may get from trying to be so clean, it's a wonderful place for bacteria to live, you know, because it's juicy and moist, and you're providing it with blood and serum to feed the bacteria. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I think, you know, a little is good and a lot is not good. Yeah.
And I think I know that some people would say this is contradictory advice, because we've also said to people during the cough and flu season, one of the best things that you can do to try to keep yourself from getting sick is frequent hand washing. Mm-hmm. And so now we do have these products so that if you can't get to a sink to wash your hands, yeah, so we now have these things. You can put them in your pocket, you can carry them in your purse, and you can squirt a little stuff on your hands, and you can do that. But that, of course, that may indeed achieve that one goal. But then the other problem is that, yes, it's really going to be hard on your skin, those things.
And maybe you should do both then. You should have one little bottle of that and one little bottle of a really good hand lotion.
Okay. Disinfect first, then put the lotion.
Put your Vaseline on. Right.
All right. Okay. We have a couple of callers here, and we'll go to someone next in Champagne, line one. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
Forgive me. I just tuned in, so you may have already addressed this, but you were talking about cracks and fissures. I used to have the cracking fingertip phenomena in the winter, and then I discovered a cream or ointment called Amlactin, and I just have been using that for a couple of years, and it completely took care of the problem, but I haven't heard anybody talk about that. I wondered if you're familiar with the product or the formulation and had an opinion about it.
Yes, it's actually wonderful stuff. And before you did tune in, I had talked about Eucerin Plus, which also has the same thing. The amlactin, the lactin in there is lactic acid. And in Eucerin Plus, there's also a form of lactic acid. And I sort of like the way the Eucerin Plus smells better than the Amlactin, so is why.
Oh, okay.
But it's a wonderful product. It's a 12% lactic acid lotion. And in fact, there is a prescription product that is identical. This is one of those things about American marketing I don't quite understand, is Y-Lachydrin, which is identical to Amlactin, is a prescription. But yes, it's a wonderful thing, and I recommend it all the time to people. So I'm glad you found it, and I'm glad it helps your fingertips.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank Bye-bye. You for the call. And we'll go to line two. And this is also someone in Champagne. Hello.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
I am a diabetic, and I am constantly with dry skin, and it's more obviously it's more prominent in the winter. And I'm just wondering if your guest might have a suggestion of what I might use. I have tried a number of things, lotions, et cetera, and They work for a while, and then you know, later on in the day, if I'm in my office, you know, I find myself lotioning up again. So, if she has a recommendation, I'd appreciate it.
Is it any particular place on you that's getting really dry?
My hands, my feet, my entire body, really. I mean, it's pretty dry in the wintertime. In the summertime, it's a lot better because, you know, if I'm out walking, and I do a lot of walking, you get the sweat going, and it's not as dry. But wintertime, it's really tough.
I would recommend actually several things I've kind of mentioned. One is to not overwash in these areas as much as you can avoid that, you know, to just use a very, very mild cleanser on your feet. But with your feet, of course, as a diabetic, you have to be really careful too.
Absolutely.
And so probably using a little bit of, you know, unless you have a prescription antifungal, using something like tenactin cream or using an actual antifungal cream as part of your moisturizing could be a really good idea, because that would help keep your feet, you know, clear, and it would make sure you got really good drying between your toes. And the product that nice lady called it and mentioned, Amlactin, which is over the counter.
Would you spell that for me?
It's Amlactin. And it's a 12% lactic acid lotion. And it is, works wonderfully for what we're talking about here.
And I can buy that over the counter.
You can just buy it over the counter. It's a little pricey. It's like $22 or so, but it's very much worth it. It's not just another lotion, you know. No. And the Eucerin Plus is the one that I mentioned also, which is that Eucerin, E-U-C-E-R-I-N, and then Plus.
Okay.
The plain Eucerin does not have the lactic acid in it. And there's a lotion and a cream. So if you can, you know, you may find that if you could use either the Emlactin or the Eucerin Plus cream, which again is a little harder to rub in than the lotion is, but more effective, if you use that in the in the morning, that maybe you wouldn't have to do that secondary moisturizing later on.
You bet. I'm with you. I'm always very conscious of the odors, you know, and you got so many odors going there, and I like those products that tend to be a lot milder from a aromatic standpoint.
Mm-hmm. That is one of the slight problems with the lactic acid, is that there is a sort of a pungency to the lactic acid lotion that you might not have because it is an acid. And so it's not vinegar, but, you know, it has a little bit of a smell to it. So that's why I think that they've been a little bit more successful in the Eucerin at camouflaging that sensation than perhaps the Emlactin. But what you could do is you could use the Emlactin on your feet, you know, and your legs, which is where you really need that.
Right.
And then maybe put a little on your hands and then over cover it with something you liked. the non-smell of better.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
Okay. Right, thanks for the call. I just want to be straight here. We've talked about how this, particularly if you have really a bad problem, that using one of these products has got some lactic acid in it can help. We've also talked about hydrocortisone. Can you use both of those things? Is one or the other better? Is one or the other better in particular situations?
The hydrocortisone is, in my mind, I think of that as something it's anti-red, anti-itch, anti-inflammatory. Okay. So some people, when they get dry skin on their hands, particularly across the back of their knuckles, it'll get really almost cracky, you know, and really dry and cracky. And and some people get that on the tips of their fingers. I would save the hydrocortisone, which is a medicine, for those kinds of areas. I would not use hydrocortisone as a hand lotion or a hand cream that I would use on my whole hand. Okay. There's an interesting thing also that I've noticed in patients that women have a tendency to apply cream with their entire hand or with three fingers. Men have a funny tendency of applying cream with one finger, which takes a really long time if you're doing it on your leg. You know, I mean, you can just imagine. And it's really hard to rub in with only one finger. So I would say that for the men out there who are listening, that you can try this novel approach of actually putting cream in your hand and using your whole hand to rub cream on your leg, because it, one, rubs it in much better, two, gets a much better distribution of it, and three, goes way faster than if you do it with one finger.
See, now, because you know why guys do this, because you just don't like that greasy feeling all over your hands. I think that's what guys are saying. They're trying to minimize the feeling that they've dipped their hands into a pot of...
Of something greasy. But I will say, if you actually do that with your hands, and then you can rub your hands, because as a woman, I have that same sensation. If there's some extra cream on my hands after I've done my feet and my legs, I just put it on my stomach or something. And then my hands are fine. The whole palmar surface is absolutely fine. Okay. And the backside, which you don't really care if it's a little bit creamier, you know, is still a little creamy. And the palmar side you can wipe off on other things. But just don't go and wash your hands really good after you do it, because then the poor backside of your hand, which is so exposed and so has such a hard time with the elements, then doesn't have the cream on it.
Yeah, okay.
Or the sunblock, which you are supposed to have on the back of your hands as
well.
Well,
guys are also doing the one-finger application
of
sunscreen, too?
Absolutely. I see it almost on a daily basis.
Okay. Let's talk with somebody else here. Champagne in line three. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Am I line three?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much, Dr. Jacobson, for your advice about hot water and soap. I think that's my chief offense against my 80-year-old skin. I believe in the daily hot bath and a lot of soap, and I can see that it's causing problems. Well, are you saying that if a daily hot bath is not good, then how much is permissible?
Well, it depends a little bit on how hot.
Uh-huh. And,
I know also when you're 80, being in, do you actually take a bath or a shower?
A bath,
okay.
Definitely, submerged in the tub.
Okay, well, I would say that that probably does a lot for you. One, it makes you get up and down from a tub, which is great for you,
sure
as long
does.
As you don't slip. And so it's really good physical exercise for you. And two, it probably feels really good on all of those joints. So I would say that if you go ahead and do your daily, you know, maybe not quite as hot as you'd love it, but, you know, not lukewarm either. If you do the daily bath, but just avoid the soap, on the alternate, maybe 2 days just hot water, and the third day actually use a little bit of soap. Again, in your...
Oh, well, if not soap, then what?
Well, the water will do just fine, because I bet you don't do much to get yourself really dirty.
Oh.
Do you work in a coal mine? Do you garden? You know,
not in a coal mine. No, don't work in a coal mine.
Okay. So I would say, you know, it's actually just fine. You know how clean stuff gets if you put it in the sink just with water.
Oh, that's true.
Okay. Well, you're just the same.
And I do believe in Eucerin. I've been using Eucerin of, you know, the moisturizer mm-hmm. and the ones that are specially for hands and feet.
Okay. And try the plus one sometime, because you'll find that on your legs and arms that it's particularly good. It even may have some cosmetic benefit for those little brown spots.
Oh, that's good to know. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So you can do two just lovely soaks and one with a little bit of a very mild cleanser. But again, just wash the areas of you that, you know, might get a little bit, you know, odoriferous.
Now, what's a mild cleanser? I use mild soap, but...
Okay, well, this is one of my favorite pet peeves, is Ivory, which got touted as this wonderful mild, so mild that it floats in my childhood, is actually one of the most caustic soaps around. So it may float, but it's not mild at all. It's really tough stuff. So the thing that I usually tell people to get, there's a new one called CeraVe, CEREVE. Which is a it's a moisturizing lotion soap, which does not make you squeaky clean. This is another American thing, is that, hey, you have to squeak in order to really be clean.
Oh, yes.
But no, that's not really true. And in fact, being kind of smooth clean is probably better. And so CeraVe is really nice. There's a Cetaphil lotion soap, CeTaphil.
I've seen that.
And yes. Cetaphil is confusing because they have 1,000 products like Eucerin yeah. does. And so you want the one that's the lotion cleanser, it's called. And they're almost, you know, Equate has, there's generic versions of all of these lotion soaps. And so just something that is does not make you squeaky clean, and just use it in the areas where you may need a little bit of soap. And not in other places, and take your soaky bath and get up and down. And when you get out, you can. One thing I often do is just use my terry cloth towel as a little bit of a get off the dead skin cell thing, you know, at the end of the bath.
And that works.
That works great. And it feels really good, too.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
Right,
bye-bye. Bye-bye.
So I would assume that you would also caution people about deodorant soaps, really harsh. That I'm sure that they are kind of harsh, and there are probably a lot of brands. If you go to the store mm-hmm. and just go look in the soap aisle, they're probably whole.
Oh, there's hundreds. I can't. Every time I go to the grocery store or the pharmacy, it's like, oh my goodness, are we a creative people? Look at all this new stuff. Yeah, so it's absolutely daunting. So it's nice to go with a couple names, to go to the store and pick up your Cetaphil and pick up your. Because a lot of, like, they've come out now with these soaps that are like a chocolate vanilla ice cream cone, you know, that they're mixed in the bottle. And when you squirt it, it comes out part green and part white, and part of it's lotion and part of it's soap. It's very interesting.
Okay. We are at our midpoint here already with Dr. Ellen Jacobson. She is a dermatologist, has practice in Urbana, and is here to talk about skincare. We, just because it's the season to do it, we have been talking about dealing with dry skin because it's a problem in the wintertime. But if you have some other kind of skin question, you can call, and I know that she will do her best to help you out. 333-9455, that's the Champaign-Urbana number, toll-free 800-222-9455. The next caller is in Stell, line number 4, right here. Hello.
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a question, but when you were speaking of lactic acid earlier, I was wondering if eating more lactic acid rich foods would help so that one wouldn't have to apply topically so much lactic acid. I mean, things like sauerkraut or fermented, lacto-fermented fruits and vegetables. I don't know if you're acquainted with Sally Fallon and her cookbook, Nourishing Traditions, but she gives many recipes in there for this kind of thing. And apparently all indigenous people ate a lot of, and still do, where they're not as, quote, civilized as we are, a lot of lacto-fermented foods. And it seems like it would be something valuable to add to current diets here.
I don't think it would probably really help your skin too much, because probably those same people didn't take quite as many showers as we do. So, but I mean, I'm sure it's very good for you to eat the lacto-fermented foods, but I don't know particularly that it would make your skin less susceptible to dryness.
Well, my personal experience inclines me to think it would, but that's okay. In any case, I was wondering if you had any answers to what causes molds on the skin. I have copious amounts of them and have since childhood, but they just seem to get worse and worse.
Okay. There's two different things that we often see on the skin. When you're a child, it's typically a nevus, or it can be brown and it's either flat or a little bit raised. As we get older, we develop these hereditary kind of little crusty patches, which can be all kinds of interesting colors, from light beige and skin colored to dark black even. And some people are absolutely covered with them, and they are unfortunately a hereditary kind of an issue. And they are really hard to get rid of. And actually, you can't really get rid of them. If you're one of the people who's blessed because they're in their parents were blessed with them, you pretty much have them. And what we do is we the lactic acid, actually, like the M-lactin, is something that can make them as smooth as they can be. But they are, and less itchy, because actually they itch often when they are in creation phase. But so using something like amlactin on them on a daily or even twice daily basis is something that could be helpful. Every now and again, I hear about somebody who rubs mineral oil on them and seems to have them get better or softer. But typically, they don't mean anything that's bad. They are just really a nuisance, and for some people, really unsightly. And we remove them in either small or great quantities, sometimes from a medical point of view, if they're in areas of big irritation, like, you know, under a bra or up at your neckline and that kind of thing. But
Well, I have in the past removed dangerous looking big black ones with by rubbing aloe vera on them for an hour at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And in another instance, I put hydrogen peroxide daily on them and rubbed tea tree oil into them. But that seems to work well on those big ones, but it doesn't seem to really do that much. Edgar Cayce said that you could use rub castor oil on them, but when one's whole body is covered with them, it doesn't seem feasible.
Yeah, it's really tough, but I'm glad you can keep the really big, because those are the ones that are really uncomfortable, I think, for people, are the big, crusty ones.
Yes, well, but you don't know what causes them. I mean, it seems like it would be liver, but I've done liver cleansing things for years, too, and it doesn't seem to make a difference.
No, it seems to be something that if you're blessed with the heredity of the skin, we really have no idea where they come from. They must have something to do some way with sun exposure, because I see often with people that they may have hundreds of them on their back and their chest, and in the area under their underpants, they have five or six. So there must be some phenomenon with sun, but we consider them totally not premalignant, you know, that they have no potential to cause you trouble.
Uh-huh. Well, the majority of mine are not visible, except now they're coming on my face. But so that doesn't quite...
Yeah, we don't know.
It's
it's the art of medicine, just like where President Bush was talking about the art of politics.
Okay. Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you for the call. We'll go next to someone in Southern Illinois. This is line number one. Hello.
Hi. Thank you for your program.
Mm-hmm.
I had a couple of questions. First, my own problem is I get little, like a hive around my waist every once in a while, and then it flattens out and it stays. Unless I put lotion on it, it itches. And I don't know whether I'm allergic to elastic or something. I've tried just using cotton underwear, but it's
How big of an area? Is it the entire, all the way around the whole circle of your waistband?
No, it's just little circles, maybe the size of a nickel or something.
Okay.
And I have a friend that happens to also, and there's just maybe 5 or 6 spots on either side of my waist.
And do they come and go entirely, or is there always a little bit of a shadow?
It used to go away in the summertime, and okay. I'm wondering about, have you mentioned about vitamin D, how important that is? I don't know whether I should take more cod liver oil or...
Well, vitamin D is really important, and it turns out that Americans in general, particularly Americans of color, have a tremendous case of not enough vitamin D in their system. And that's been the whole kind of controversy about, well, then we need our 15 minutes of sun every day. And as a dermatologist, I'd say, you know, get your sun on something other than your face and your hands, because you don't need skin cancer at the same time. But what I would say about these little spots is it sounds sort of like something we call nummular eczema. Nummular means coin-shaped, and it's often little circles of redness, mostly with a little bit of scaliness on the surface. And for that, the first thing I would try, I think, is just twice a day hydrocortisone that we were talking about before, the 1% over-the-counter hydrocortisone, and see whether you can flatten them out.
They are flattened out.
Okay.
But I'm wondering if it's an allergy, because when they first appear, it's like a hive.
Okay. Well, it certainly could be. Typically, with hives, we think that they are not usually caused by something topical, something like a belt or elastic, because a hive is usually something that...
That's internal.
And so typically, you know, the big offenders are, of course, any kind of medicine, even, you know, Aleve or acetaminophen or aspirin or anything like that can cause it. And then there's, you know, strawberries, chocolate, nuts, soy, fish are sort of the big five things that we talk about that can be offending agents in certain people. The nature of a hive is that it comes and goes within a 24-hour period. That's what classifies it as a hive. So
you would recommend hydrocortisone instead of what you were talking about, the Eucerin or...
Yeah. Because there was anti-red, anti-itch, anti-inflammatory is what the hydrocortisone is. The amlactin is much more of a across the whole stratum corneum effect, that it just improves the turnover of all of your cells, or, you know, thickens them up, makes them a little bit tougher. So that probably would only be irritating, especially if it was under a belt line.
And the hydrocortisone is over the counter?
Yeah. There's things like Cordate, or, you know, Walgreens has a brand of 1% hydrocortisone.
And is there any bad effects from taking it for too long, or will I know within like a week or two whether it's...
I think within 2 weeks of using it twice a day, you'd know, you know, whether it was getting better. But again, we have the definitional issue here that, you know, if it only is there for 24 hours, then it's really a hive. And if it's not, then it's some kind of a dermatitis probably that the hydrocortisone will help.
Also, how does that lactic acid work? What's it doing to the skin?
There's a little bit of an absorptive process of the lactic acid. The molecules are able to help actually smooth out the upper layers of the stratum corneum, which is what is peeling off. And when studies have been done over the long term on that, it actually the top layer of the skin can be very irregular in different areas. And, you know, some places very thin and some places very thick, even within centimeters of each other. And what it seems to do is make it more uniform. So the skin has a better, it decreases the water loss capacity of the skin, so it maintains the moisture and stays fairly thick and healthy and able to withstand.
Oh, it could be like a facial.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But do you have any idea why the nummular eczema is what the cause is, or?
Oh, ma'am. I can't tell you.
Many reasons.
You know, I went into medicine thinking it was a science, but it's not really. It's we all get, hit with the art of these things. There's so many things we have no idea why they happen. Dryness really seems to be a big piece of the issue in nummular eczema. And there may be some allergic component, but finding what it is when it's, five or six little things around your stomach is often really hard. And, if they're not bothering you a lot, I wouldn't worry about it.
Yes, and for the other caller of the little spots, freckles, whatever, D-alpha lipoic acid internally is a free radical scavenger, and I think it's been very good to use for ridding those spots.
So you're taking
DHLA,
it?
DHLA.
Okay. Well, good.
And do you recommend how much vitamin D or cod liver oil to take? Daily.
I don't know how much it is in cod liver oil, but I know that we've actually encouraged, people, and right in the top of my head, I'm not sure whether it's like up to, is it like maybe almost 500 international units or something that we're supposed to be up to, and we're supposed to take more after 50 and more after 60.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't actually know the numbers in my head.
Well, thank you for the program and your help.
Thanks for the call. We're talking this morning with Dr. Ellen Jacobson. She is a dermatologist. She has a practice in Urbana, the Jacobson Dermatology Center. Occasionally she's here on the program. She's one of a couple of different doctors who have this specialty that are good enough to come in throughout the year and answer questions here. We've been talking a lot about winter dry skin, and that's because we're here at that time of year, but other skin questions are welcome. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. How much, we were talking about the fact that people have a lot of problems with dry skin in the winter because it's dry. The air is dry and it sucks the moisture right out of you. So we're doing things to try to remediate that. I think one of the things that we are told is that people don't drink enough water.
Mm-hmm.
Would if you followed the recommendations for being well hydrated, would that actually make a difference?
It really helps a lot. Absolutely. yeah, so having those, four to six glasses of water a day is extremely important in keeping all your cells happy and your skin cells, in a way get dissed a little bit, that they, your heart and all the other stuff has to get it first. And so what's left over, we get at the skin level, because it takes a while for the transport to happen from the blood into the skin. So absolutely, that is a very important thing. And the bath that we were talking about with the lady, you do get some absorption of the fluid from a bath and shower. So soaking in a bathtub or going swimming is not a bad thing. It's a good thing for your skin. But then when you get out of a swimming pool, what you don't want to do is you want to rinse off the chlorine. You don't want to wash it all off with soap, because you can, change the good effect by being too drying from an external point of view with the soap.
Okay. Let's go on here. And we'll talk next with someone in DeWitt County. This is line 3. Hello.
Hi, doctor. Yes, my problem seems to be that after I take a shower in the evening, then I have itch in the private area. I wondered what kind of a situation that is. What's causing that?
Well, do you use a lot of soap?
Probably, yeah.
Okay. Well, I would say that just like any other skin, it's just even more fragile skin and much less used to environmental exposure. So I would say maybe time yourself on a normal shower how much time you spend washing that area with soap, and then cut it in a third and stop and see if it doesn't feel way, way better. The other thing that, of course, you can do is use a little bit of these same kind of lotions that we were talking about immediately after and see if it doesn't help. The other issue, of course, is whether there's anything fungal going on, and whether you have athlete's foot, or athlete's feet troubles with some peeling and scaling. And one thing we see often is that, people have that and then they pull their underpants up and get the fungus there and then get it up in their groin. So if you have any redness in the area, you can use a little bit of the an antifungal cream, again, like tenactin or Micotin, something like that. And it will, one, provide some moisture, two, not have any other side effects, and three, maybe stop your itching and any little fungal problem you have.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks. I guess that, you know, that's the same. The thing that causes athlete's foot can cause that same kind of irritation in the groin area. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's something that people probably think more about as being a problem maybe in the summer time. Mm-hmm. But you could certainly still have the, and just because it's winter, you know, you could still have the same thing.
That fungus can live in a nice warm place anytime.
Yeah. Okay. Then we'll talk with somebody in Chicago, line four. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, good morning, doctor. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a situation where I have real thick skin on the heels of my feet. And from time to time, they will crack. It's, and that could cause a lot of pain. It's like a cut.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a really... It's a tough one. and lots of times we see that getting worse in winter, I think, partly because of the kind of shoes that people are wearing in the winter. There is some wonderful stuff called crack cream that has urea in it. That's U-R-E-A. And that's also over the counter. And what I really recommend with this is that you don't let it go to the place where it starts hurting, that you actually try to be a little proactive about the heels and use something like the crack cream with urea or, again, amlactin. I don't know if you were here when we were talking about that, but it's an over-the-counter 12% lactic acid lotion. And if you start doing that in September and really try to be kind of faithful with it, you will probably find that your feet never get to the place where they thicken up like that.
It's called crack cream?
Crack cream, yeah. And you can get it. It's like in the Dr. Scholl's section, you know, the foot section. You'll see different kinds of cream with a urea base in them. The amlactin will be someplace else. But and the other thing that can sometimes be helpful is a gentle pumice stone. So when you're in the shower, if you have a kind of a bath shower where you can put the plug in and have your feet have a good soak while you're washing the rest of yourself, then your feet get maybe a 10-minute soak. Then you use one of those pumice stones that you can get also in that same Dr. Scholl's section and do a little work on your heels then just gently and then get out and put that cream on them. And I bet you that if you work at that assiduously for a couple of weeks, you will not have that problem with cracking.
Oh, that sounds good. Well, thank you very much.
Right, sure.
Thank you. Back here to Chicago, Champaign, here where we are, line number one. Hello.
Hi.
Yes.
I had a question about, like, the as you get older, you get dark spots. Like, I've got one on my face. Sometimes you get, like, what they call liver spots on the back of the hands. But you said something earlier about one of the creams might help with lightening dark spots, and I wondered if you had any good advice for that.
They're kind of tough. You know, we have medical ways to get rid of them with liquid nitrogen. There are bunches of lasers around now that can help, you know, peel them off to some extent. The main thing you want to do is avoid sun exposure. And so, you know, wearing a 30 SPF really every day, summer, winter, is one thing that can help keep them from getting worse. But they do seem to come from sun damage, you know, from childhood and then, again, a sort of hereditary nature of them.
So they'd be more likely to be a problem as far as skin cancer later?
These actually maybe they mean that you have had a lot of sun in these areas. And so your body is responding by creating some little flat dark spots.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order to keep them as nice as you can, again, when we get down to the urea and the lactic acid, the amlactin and different creams that have urea in them can do some help in sort of peeling off these little surface critters. There are also hydroquinone is actually a bleaching agent, which may or may not be on the market for a long time. They are thinking of taking hydroquinone off the market. But as it is now, we still have it. And that can be somewhat helpful for these spots.
Is that something you get over the counter too?
Yes. Yeah, things like Porcelana and have a 2% hydroquinone in them.
Okay.
So I would use kind of a combination of stuff, of some acid, some hydroquinone, and mostly I'd use a 30 SPF on my back of my hands every day and on my face in order to keep them as good as you can. Some of the products with retinol in them can also be helpful. You'll see, you know, Neutrogena, Oil of Olay, all of them have some retinol in their products, and those probably help keep you from getting them more than they help them actually go away. But just be careful with your skin and try to not get any more sun exposure, and then you can get actual cosmetic treatment done if you feel like you want to later.
I see. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Sure. Thanks for the call. I would assume here, just to draw a line under this, that you would recommend that people do use sunscreen year-round, not just in the summertime when you think about it more, but even at this time of year, you would say you should?
Oh, absolutely, because on these areas, like, you know, the backs of hands, on the face, there you get all kinds of ambient light when you're driving, you know, when you're running in and out to the car. And so in those particular areas, I do it because we know that it all just leads to wrinkling and brown spots and skin cancer in addition, which is probably even more important. And so, yeah, I'd say that the back, because it's another way of applying some cream that's protective to your skin, also from the elements.
Okay.
So those
areas that are going to be exposed, face, your hands. Yeah.
And on men, the behind their ears and the back of the neck since they have shorter hair usually.
Yeah. All right. Next, we will talk with someone in Mattoon, line two.
Thank you, doctor. I have an itchy skin problem. I'm on Plavix and Coumadin, and sometimes it affects my arms, and they just itch and itch. And it's both arms at the same time. If I start scratching one arm, the other arm is itching at the same time. And I could just sit all day and scratch. Right now, it's calmed down, but now it's in my abdomen, and I could just scratch that all day. Sometimes it affects my back. I've been given clobetasol propionate by the dermatologist, and that calms it down for several days. Something like just rubbing my nylon camisole over my skin will excite the skin. Is this nerves or is it dry skin?
I would say that it's probably a combination. Are you on any kind of a lipid-lowering agent also?
A Lipitor.
Lipitor, okay.
Yes.
Lipitor, anything that is decreasing your cholesterol is also making your skin dry, because skin is a big manufacturer of cholesterol. Mm-hmm. And so that is probably the agent rather than the Plavix or Coumadin that's giving you the trouble. They just make you bruise when you scratch. So I would say that more than even the rest of us are susceptible to a dry skin issue because of your Lipitor. And so I would be super careful not to over soap. I would be super careful not to get over hot, and I would be super careful to moisturize and drink lots and lots of water. And then
moisturize, did you say?
Yeah, and moisturize. Yeah, these different ones.
Do you have a suggestion on the moisturizer?
Well, the Eucerin Plus that I've talked about up to now is probably a great one for you.
I've tried Eucerin calming agent, and it helps.
It helps
a
little,
very short time.
Right. I think, are you using a lot of soap and water?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Then the clobetasol you have is wonderful stuff. It is very strong.
Yes, I understand.
And so you probably wouldn't want to use clobetasol in your abdomen more than two or three times a week.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd want to be really careful on your arms because you're already susceptible to bruising with other medicines.
Yes.
And you don't want to look like you've been beaten all the time. So,
Why does it calm down for days and then all of a sudden it reacts again?
I would, wonder if I would kind of monitor on those days that you were better, were you much better about drinking fluids or, eating fruits that had a lot of fluid in them?
Uh-huh.
Because I bet that part of it is really that you are getting dehydrated, internally with the medicines that you're on.
Is there a substitute for the Lipitor that might not affect me this way?
No, I don't think so, because you probably need the Lipitor for the medicine that it's giving you. Do you use fabric softener dryer sheets?
No, I don't.
Okay. So that's another thing that a lot of people get itching from. So I wouldn't say it's in your mind, but I would, you know, I'm sure that it's a physical phenomenon. Mm-hmm. And I would just stay as well hydrated as I could and, you know, use try the Eucerin Plus rather than just the calming cream.
All right.
And see if
Excellent.
That doesn't help. And just be real careful not to, you know, use soap in these areas that you're having trouble. And sometimes an antihistamine can help, but I don't know with your other medical conditions whether that would be advised or not.
Okay.
And get back to your dermatologist, because we have all kinds of tricks up our sleeves. That,
all right,
you know,
I'll
if you give us a couple other tries, he or she may have something fascinating for you.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. We'll try to get at least one more. We'll go to Champagne here, line 3. Hello.
Hi. I just had a question. You're talking about sunscreen, and it sounds like a wonderful thing, but for those of us that get stinging anytime we use any product that contains sunscreen, other than, you know, I've tried a Neutrogena, which is white and makes me look rather ghostly, that's a physical blocker. Is there anything else?
There are some really lovely new physical blockers that are micronized zinc. We sell one at our office called Minusol, which we get out of Florida. And it is, as my colleague in Florida said, it's one of the only things she's never, ever had anybody sensitive to.
Oh.
And so it's there are some forms of micronized zinc that I would say, you know, go out there, you know, and you will find something. They're very much like the Neutrogena sensitive skin, which is what I think you're probably talking about there.
Right, but it just looks really white when you put it on.
Right. Yeah. No. So there are the one we have at the office is actually a tinted product, but it goes on absolutely smooth. It makes you feel like silk. It's really nice stuff.
Okay.
So you can either stop by and pick up a sample of that, or you can look. I don't know of one that's over the counter, but micronized zinc they're using in more and more substances.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. All right, thanks. Well, there we will have to finish up for this time around with our thanks to Dr. Ellen Jacobson. She's a dermatologist. She has her practice in Urbana, the Jacobson Dermatology Center, and we're really pleased she could be here. And I probably think you'd also like to say, just as a last thought to people, stay away from the tanning parlor.
Yes, don't go tanning beds. Use your sunblock and put on moisturizers and don't use too much soap.
All right, and drink lots of water.
And drink lots of water.
Thank you very much for being here. We appreciate
it. Thank you very much for having me.